Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, Raider Nation? Matt Holder from Silver and Black Pride, bringing you this week's edition of the Behind Enemy Lines podcast. Apologies for getting this to you guys out a day later than normal, but I have a very special guest to talk about the New York Giants. Bobby Skinner, host of the Talking Giants podcast on the John Boy Media Network. Bobby, thanks for coming on. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all as good as you could be for a team that's, 2-6. And that's our best record at the half over, the last 5 years, tied, but...
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The last 5 years, it's 2-6, 1-7, 2-6, 1-7, 2-6. So it's been
it's been
a brutal 10 years, but the last 5 years in particular has just been like an all time low.
Well, hey, as a Raider fan, I feel your pain, man. I say that, and then I go back and think about the last 20 years, and it's probably pretty similar. Raiders had a few stretches where a lot more losses than wins. Let's say.
I obviously I'm a Giants fan, so, you wouldn't expect me to know much about the Raiders, but some of my best friends are, who I talk football with the most are diehard Raiders fans, they're from awesome. Cali. And so I've been paying attention to the Raiders for, the last 6-7 years, I've been like just as dialed in into the Raiders as any Giants fan could be. And my heart broke for you guys when the one year you guys were really good, Derek Carr MVP, and then it's like, oh my gosh, he breaks his leg with 2 games left to go in the season, and now you're starting a Connor Cook for a playoff game.
Yeah, that was the worst Christmas ever. I literally said that as it happened on Christmas Eve at my now wife then girlfriend's house. So it was a fun time, but
just brutal, man.
But real quick before we get into it, where can the people find you out there? We're all football fans. Give you a follow out there.
Yeah, so whenever I do these, we do a Talking Football channel. You guys don't want to see a bunch of Giants stuff. Like Talking Giants, you need to follow me on Twitter at @BobbySkinner_. But the Talking Football YouTube channel is probably the best place because we do all types of NFL stuff. And then in the draft, like I think the best connections in these, it's like, do Raiders fans want to listen to my Giants podcast? No, but they might like my draft stuff in draft season. So that's where you can the YouTube channels and then my Twitter.
Awesome. Definitely. I'm a big draft nerd as well, so I'll definitely have to be checking you out come March and whatnot. But I always like to start these things off talking about the team as a whole, which kind of already got into. Obviously, Giants sitting at 2-6. And I ask you this again as a lifelong Raiders fan, so I know your pain, but how tough is it to be a Giants fan right now? And what do you think about the future in New York?
Well, the most frustrating thing is the last few years it's been like, okay, you're rebuilding and you can take like moral victories and like, okay, this player's playing well, but this was year four of Dave Gettleman. And I don't think anyone like loved Dave Gettleman as a GM, even if you wanted him back this year, I don't think anyone loved him. And this is year four, and they spent a ton of money in free agency. They were going for it, and they basically did everything but say, like, hey, we're trying to win games this year. So the expectation was to win. And you lost, they've lost games in the way it's like, okay, this is stuff that could have been changed. Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator. They've lost close games, injuries, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, this roster is just – It's not ready for real success, and trying to like go for 10-7, 9-8 really is like, it's kind of like a flawed process. Especially when it hits you in the face with losses instead of those, like if they went 9-7 or 9-8, 10-7, like you're happy in the moment, but it's like, it kind of hides like, okay, but this is year four of the GM and you're having to do all of this just to get to that range.
Right. Yeah. So I'm curious, you think that it's going to be some spring cleaning out in the January?
Gettleman will be fired. The question right now is if they bring back Joe Judge. I think Daniel Jones is pretty safe at this point. The combination of him actually having a pretty good season and the QB class upcoming supposedly not being great. The issue with the Giants right now is they keep on doing things halfway. Gotcha. Before they fired Tom Coughlin, but they kept Jerry Reese, and they just moved up Ben McAdoo one spot in the front office. So it's like you didn't really change that much. Then they fired Ben McAdoo 2 years, and they clean house, but they bring in Gettleman, who is like a you know, he's part of the Giants organization who spent a few years with the Panthers and then got fired. Mm-hmm. And then, so after 2019, you know, Jones had a pretty good rookie year, obviously flaws. And it's like, okay, what are they going to do? They're like, they fire Pat Shurmur, but keep Gettleman. It's like, either keep both of them or fire both of them. You're getting off cycle. So then you bring in Joe Judge, and now it's like, you kind of, there's things you like about Joe Judge, but it, like, the organization really likes Joe Judge, but they're probably going to fire Gettleman. So they're going to do, they keep on doing things halfway. It's like, let's just start over fresh right now. And that's the frustrating thing. It's like, I can get excited about the offseason of a fresh new GM, two first round picks, but it's like, I feel like you're going to have a head coach who's with a brand new GM and he's already on like the make or break hot seat.
Gotcha. Well, you bring up Daniel Jones and definitely want to talk about him, because I'm glad to hear you're talking about him having a good season, because I do think he gets a little bit more hate than he really really deserves, because I do think he's a guy where he'll show some flashes and then he'll turn around and make a bad decision or that makes people doubt him. And I kind of put him in that category of like a Jameis Winston in the last like a couple of years ago, where, again, he'll make those big plays that make you think, man, this guy can really play, and that'll turn around and you'll sit there and be, what are you thinking? So I'm curious where you stand with Daniel Jones and what do you think his future is with the Giants?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the hate stems from pre-draft. Like, you know, you're into the draft, I'm to the draft. Like, it's hard to move off what you said about someone in the draft, you know, because it's you know, confirmation bias. So the rookie season, he was extremely aggressive, you know, and he had 24 touchdowns in 12 games. You know, like, that would have been the record if he played a full season, you know, at that rate, you know. So there's a lot, but he also had 12 interceptions, which isn't horrible. But when you add 18 fumbles, then it's like, oh my God, it was an insane rate of fumbles. You know, but Jason Garrett comes in. I'm giving you the whole life story of Daniel Jones, so just where he's at right now. But like, they became so uber conservative in their play. It's not even like, okay, there's something downfield and they're teaching Jones to not take that and take the check down. They're not even giving him those downfield options. Like, I chart downfield concepts for short concepts, and it makes me so angry every week. It's like, look how efficient he is when you open up the field a little more. So he's gotten a lot better about the turnovers. Had a really, probably his worst one in the last, you know, 16 games on Monday night. So it was on Monday Night Football, so everyone noticed it. But yeah, you go back to the last 16 games that he's played, or no, 14, because he missed two games. He's had five interceptions. One was a Hail Mary. One was a wide receiver stumbling out of a break. So there's three interceptions in 14 games where it's like, okay, that's his fault. So he's gotten a lot better at that. The issue is they don't open up the offense, you know. So last year he was the most efficient deep ball passer in the league, but it's like, okay, but you rarely did it. You know, it's like, it's awesome you're completing 50% of them and you're not throwing interceptions, but it's like, you're not moving the ball downfield and you're trying to sustain these long drives with no running game, with a bad offensive line and not a great receiver corps. So, but to let me narrow it down to this year, because you're playing us this week and you Raiders fans don't want to hear about the Giants organization as a whole. Right now, what it is, it's a very conservative offense that became even more conservative when Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, went out. Because when Andrew Thomas was playing, they could trust the blind, like Daniel Jones could trust his blind side. But now they are scheming around that, in my opinion, too much. You know, they've become afraid of sacks. And that has stopped them from moving the ball downfield. So, you know, you won't have a bunch of sacks or maybe not a bunch of turnovers, but if they're not moving the ball consistently downfield. So it's a very conservative, a lot of stick concepts, a lot of curl concepts, you know, slant flat stuff. And not like, you know, we're not going to test you downfield. And when we do, it's going to be like a predetermined, like, all right, this is our shot play. Or they'll max protect and send, you know, two men down, you know, two guys down the field for like a, you know, Yankees or crossers or scissors or something like that. So that's where it's at. He's not making the same mistakes that he was. But right now he's like 0 for 4 with his scheme around him. Like, he's got a bad offense. Like, I'm pretty like patient with people. I'm really anti Garrett. The offensive line with Thomas is out is bad from left to right. Yeah. The running game isn't good at all, especially with Saquon out, but it wasn't good even with Saquon. And now the wide receivers are so banged up. And I'll finish off on this.
No, you're good.
He had a good wide receiver core, one good offensive lineman, and then like the bad running game, bad coordinator. He looked really good the first four games of the year. But now the wide receiver core is extremely banged up. You got no Shep. You got no Galladay. Tony is kind of like, he's on like a snap count. And then no Thomas. And it's just looked very average the last few games like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you bring that up. And when I was doing my research for this and doing my articles for this week, looking at the Giants receiving core, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't even know who's going to play at some point just with all these injuries. And I mean, even Kadarius Tooney went out. Shepard's going to be out a few weeks. Galladay still kind of be still on the shelf. So I'm curious, can you just kind of let us know who's going to be at wide receiver and kind of touch on a little bit of what they bring to the table?
Yeah, it's Tooney.
He is healthy.
They use him both inside and out. He's electric, you know, but yeah. Last week he was on a limited snap count. And a lot of times it was like they were putting him on, like a lot of his reps were just being motion on run plays. So they didn't really use Tooney much. So that's an unknown right now. Shep is out. Galladay is out. So you got Darius Slayton, who he had 0 catches, 0 yards last week, which is like, man, we need you to step up, and you didn't do much. But he is going to be the guy who's going to challenge you when you play press on him. Like, he's good at beating press, and he could get, you know, he can beat you downfield. And he's, you know, he's a decent route runner. And then they're going to use John Ross to stretch you a few times a game. Like, you know, and then like John Ross is like semi-involved, and they just kind of got some guys like a Colin Johnson type player. Dante Pettis is, I mean, I don't know. They have like 4 healthy wide receivers right now. Like the backups have been hurt. Like CJ Board is hurt. Dante Pettis is hurt. So it's, Colin Johnson's a big-bodied wide receiver, but he hasn't really done anything downfield. Gotcha. Darius Slayton's like a solid wide receiver, and then Tooney is the guy. Tooney's really the only guy you have to worry about as a defense this week.
Yeah, Tony's a guy that I liked a lot watching him. I went to the Senior Bowl last year and had a blast just watching him win downfield and in the short areas. I thought he was an interesting guy, and I was a little surprised though, because I remember in the beginning of the year there was a little bit of talk about him not getting much playing time. So I was curious, you know, if you could shine some light behind that. Was it him not being on a pitch count, I think you were talking about, or maybe not picking up the playbook or whatnot?
Well, first, are you going to the Senior Bowl again this year?
I believe so. That's the plan. So,
all right, well, I'll see you down there. And like you said, I think I was doing video clips down there, you know, for socials. Mm-hmm. And Tooney was probably the guy I clipped the most down there. Like he had a really
good week.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. He had the weirdest offseason I've ever seen for a rookie. Like, they rookie camp, his cleats weren't working. He was literally, he went through some drills with one cleat on. So that was weird. He doesn't show up for OTAs, you know, and the excuse was like they didn't have the contract signed, but like that's not really a factor for rookies. They sign waivers to, you know. Yeah. And then camp, he starts camp out with COVID, and then he's dealing, like, he basically missed the entirety of camp. Gotcha. And then so they worked him back in super slowly, which I think they should have been a little more aggressive. And then they were forced to play him versus the Saints. And he, you know, he had a good game. And then Dallas the next week, he has, you know, 10 catches for like 195 yards. And it's like, all right, like he has forced this coaching staff's hand to stop using the excuses of he's not ready yet.
Gotcha. I did not realize all that went on and show so much to pay attention to the Giants over there. But
oh, yeah. I mean, the Giants fans were calling him a bust before he even, you know, played a game. So then Giants fans fell in love with him. And then he has some tweets that are, you know, maybe hit a little home to the Raiders, and it's like, now Giants fan. So he's an interesting case, but when he's on the field, he's electric.
Yeah, he definitely is one hell of a football player. But Evan Engram, obviously there's been some trade rumors around him recently, obviously still at the Giants. But with the Giants being banged up, I'm just curious, do you expect him to step up, or is he kind of on his way out and getting phased out of the offense?
I don't expect anything out of Evan Engram. Last year was a disaster. He was very involved because there was a lack of weapons, but he just had the worst. It wasn't just drops, Matt. His drops were turning into interceptions. Like, he was batting them up like volleyballs. Like, he was responsible for like 5 or 6 turnovers, like on his own last year, you know, on his own. Like, it was so frustrating. And then he had like a couple fumbles, and then his first catch of the year this year, he fumbles. It's like, oh my God. But he's actually been better catching the ball. The issue is they just don't use his speed. You know, he was used on third down essentially as an outlet, you know, like check down type player if everything's covered downfield, or, you know, the play action boots, they'll put him in the flat. But like, they don't use him on crossers or drags or anything, you know. So they use him like he's Jason Witten, and like that's the worst way you could use Evan Engram. So I you know, he can. Now he'll have a game every once in a while where they will, you know, so they might, you know, line them out wide and, you know, stretch them down the field, but they just don't do that consistent enough to where you like right now, you know, I talk about all the wide receiver core, and you'd be like, okay, this is the time for Evan Engram to step up. Well, it's like, one, he's not. And two, it's like, they're just not even, they're not even really using him. Like, and it's like, you know, he's yeah. shouldn't be the number one read in a lot of progressions, but make him the number two, number three, and they don't do that. You know, it's a very predetermined pre-snap offense.
It's funny talking about how they used him and how they haven't used him properly, because I feel like that's been like the talk for a lot with Evan Engram ever since he got drafted. Really, it's like all right, he's this physical freak that has the speed to win deep and as a tight end at 230, 240 pounds, and just felt like he'd never really been utilized. And I mean, part of that has to do with his hands and his drops, which have been a big issue since he entered the league. So
injuries had been an issue. I will say Pat Shurmur, you guys are familiar with Shurmur, who I like more than most. When he was healthy, Shurmur, and once Odell left, you know, like, so there's like, you know, four games to finish off the 2018 season, and then like, you know, 6-8 games in 2019. He was putting up wide receiver one numbers. Like he was really thriving. And then he got hurt that year, you know, and then he comes back the next year with Jason Garrett, and they try and put him like in a, you know, a Y stick Jason Witten role. And it's just, you know, some self-inflicted stuff with the drop. So, gotcha. Which is why I was surprised no one wanted to trade for him, but also he can't block too, you know,
yeah.
which is like, yeah. you can work around, but that, like, who he's on an expiring deal. Like, who's going to trade for, you know, a guy who hasn't produced? He's basically like his one skill is running fast. You know, like, he's not a great yeah. route runner. He doesn't have great hands. He doesn't block well. You know, he's got a lot of negatives to his game.
Gosh. Well, I do want to move on to running backs. And I was excited to talk about Saquon Barkley because I think he was supposed to come back this week, but ended up on the COVID list. Have been following up on that story. I've been invested in a different one, obviously, this week. But what is the chances he plays? I'm not sure if he's vaccinated or immunized, I should say.
Yeah, he is vaccinated. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't expect it because you mix that with the ankle injury. I'm just not expecting it. And then we have our bye week next week, so they might just be like, all right, get healthy.
Gotcha.
I'm not. I would be surprised if Saquon plays. Like I have zero expectation of it. So you'll probably be facing former friend Devontae Booker. So I mean, you guys know he's just kind of like a solid back. Like he does everything right. Okay, you know, decent receiver. But he has made some plays in the receiving game too. He's been a good outlet for DJ or Daniel Jones. So he's just like a solid back. But our offensive line is injured too. Like three of our five best run blockers are injured. You know, our left tackle, left guard, and center are out. So and then Nate Solder is like the worst offensive line I've seen in Giants history. And it's just like, they aren't equipped to block up front. And last year they compensated that with being a more of a gap scheme and pulling and stuff. But now it's like every time a guy pulls, they're spilling inside and blowing those plays up. You know, teams have kind of caught on to that a little bit. So it's been the run game. Like we had Booker went 15 carries for 60 yards versus the Chiefs. And that was like the clear cut best running game of the season for the Giants.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, you do brought up the guys in the trenches. Do want to talk about those guys too. And I got to be honest, you kind of hinted at it too. I got to ask you point blank again, who's just going to be suiting up? I mean, so many injuries for the Giants, especially offensively this year, and especially at a left guard. I think you guys are about to set a record for most left guards played in a year.
Yeah, it's been brutal. You know, Daniel Jones, if there was one thing like, okay, what does he improve? Like the thing, you know, the fumbles were a big issue his rookie season, but it's like, all right, let's look a little deeper to that. What is his biggest issue? And I was like, pocket manipulation. Like, I love that he's not afraid to take a hit and will stand in there and throw the ball downfield. But like, he sometimes was blind in the pocket. I was like, I don't know. Can he improve that? Like, I don't know. This year, his pocket manipulation was great. Has been awesome. You know, like the sack numbers that went down. You even look at this past game. There's three sacks. One was on an RPO that he had to eat because the receivers were covered. So that's not O-line or pocket manipulation. And then two were on the final drive. It's like, you got to throw the ball downfield and the offensive line. So Daniel Jones has been able to work around that, and they've used some sprint outs. But with Andrew Thomas out, it's just a train wreck. When Andrew Thomas was good, it was like, all right, we got our left tackle. We put him on an island. And then we can help double with tight ends and chips and stuff like that. But with Thomas out, they have worked around it, doing a lot of three-step drops, bootleg, sprint out type stuff. And they really struggle with stunt pickups. And I was watching some Max Crosby stuff last week versus the Broncos. I was like, man, the Raiders do the, like, it seems like the Raiders just will stunt you to death. So this should be a stat game for Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, the Raiders have been running a lot more stunts pretty much since Gruden left. I don't know if that's necessarily related, but I remember watching the Broncos game, like you said. I'm like, they've been running a stunt like every single play, which was not as frequently as I had, at least I had noticed in the past. But, you know, you bring up Andrew Thomas, and I was just so sad to see him go down because he was having such a good year after his rookie year, after struggling a little bit as a rookie. And then, you know, seemed like he was starting to figure things out as a sophomore. So, devastating injury, and it sucks to see that guy out, because I was a big fan of him coming out of Georgia. So
yeah, and you know what's crazy, and like you said, you're in the draft stuff, and I loved Andrew Thomas. Like, he was the guy I wanted the Giants to pick, and you know, you had those four tackles, and he suffered, because not many people watch offensive line play, but like, offensive line play is like my thing, you know. Like, I do an O-line video every week for the Giants. That's where I've gotten, gotcha. Like, that's how we grew personally. And then last year, I didn't watch Worf's because he played right tackle. I should have. But, like, I watched everything. I broke down every game between Becton and Wills. And those guys started out well, and Thomas didn't. But Thomas got to, like, he was better than Wills by the end of the season. And then him and Becton were similar. Like, he was better in the pass game than Becton. But Becton just is, like, a highlight, reel in the run game. But it was like, all right, but he had the first bad eight games, and no one, like, people have already made up their minds on him. And then this year, he was outperforming all three of those guys. Like, he was, you know, he was better than Wills. Becton got banged up, but it was, like, compared to what Becton was doing last year, like, he was better than that. And then him and Worse were, like, really playing, like, really good. And then he gets injured. It's like, man, he was most correlated to Daniel Jones' success, more than Tony, more than Galladay, more than Shepard, more than a play – well, definitely more than the play caller. Like, Thomas's success was the biggest correlation to DJ playing really well in those first four games. And him being out has been a huge blow, not just because they can't block him up front, but has brought Jason Garrett back into, like, the very conservative, very scared play calling.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Well, let's pivot to something I'm sure you're a little bit more excited to talk about, and that's the Giants' defensive line. As far as defensive tackle combos go, I think Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence are probably one of the better duos in the league. Can you tell us about what each of those guys bring to the table individually and how they kind of complement each other?
Leo's been awesome, man. Like, he plays a defensive tackle group, so it's, you know, position. So, you know, it's like, it sometimes the stats won't be there, but the stats right. have his QB hits, his pressures have always been there consistently. Now, last year was a career year where he had the 11 and a half sacks, you know, 30 QB hits, 14 tackles. Like, you know, that was, he'll never match that again. You know, like, those stats matched Aaron Donald's, but like this year, he's like 5.5 sacks to 8 games, only 4 tackles for a loss, but he has the most tackles out of all. Like, he has been a baller, and he's like, you know, in the run and the pass. And look at our nose tackle, Austin Johnson, who, you know, we lost a good one in Dalvin Tomlinson to the Vikings. He's like, he's been putting up really good stats, and because he's been able to get, you know, one-on-ones with the center. And Dex has been, he's a solid player, but I was looking for him to jump and make, like, you know, like, make some more, like, you know, like, play, like, everyone notices, not just people who watch film plays. And it just hasn't happened. So he's been a good run defender. He had a good couple. The last couple of games have been probably his better ones, but he's just not making like the plays that it's like, all right, we drafted you 17th overall. You were a good player. You've got a really good floor of a player, but it's like, I feel like we were hoping to, like, all right, let's get into like that Fletcher Cox area with Dexter Lawrence. And he hasn't done that, but those guys, like, you know, the Giants last year, they've ran a lot of, you know, stack boxes. This year, they're not doing that at all, and they're trusting those guys to stop the run. Struggled a little bit in the early of the season, and now they're doing it And Leonard Williams has been able to get after the pass rusher or after the quarterback pretty well this year.
Okay. So what have you noticed that offenses have done to successfully keep Williams and even Lawrence a little bit in check? And then the opposite, what type of players or what type of schemes do they start to dominate?
QBs who take what you give them. You know, like the last 2 weeks, the Giants defense has been its best versus the Chiefs and the Panthers. And you got two QBs who are always looking to move the ball downfield and, you know, maybe and have some bad footwork and will miss some throw. Like, you know, I think Donald's footwork is atrocious. And, you know, Pat Mahomes obviously has been under fire for that type of stuff.
Right.
Lately. So, but like team, like Jameis did all right. Like they just taking what they give you, cause they're going to play some more soft zone, you know? And the thing is they tried to run more man coverage, but they don't have any pass rush presence on the edge. Like they're really their only pass rusher is Leonard Williams, and Austin Johnson can do some here and there. So teams were like, they had a clean pocket, you know? So it's like, all right, I'm able to read what the defense has given me and I'm hitting the easy stuff. So I'm much more worried about playing Derek Carr than I am Patrick Mahomes. Cause like, I'm not worried about the big play with the Giants defense. Like the Giants defense is based on like keeping everything in front of you. And then the change this year is they're going to give you a favorable run front on almost every single down. So it's like, will you be consistent and patient enough in the run game?
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I tell you what, like you said, that's good to hear as Derek Carr, it's kind of his MO is always taking what the defense is giving him. So that makes me a little excited, but you do bring up the edge. And I did want to ask you about Azeez Ojulari, who I know you said the Giants haven't been getting too much from their edge rushers, but it seems like he's kind of starting to figure it out a little bit, starting to piece it together as a rookie. I saw he had 8 pressures against Carolina a couple of weeks ago. So can you talk about what you've seen from him so far and kind of his development? And do you think his best football is coming up soon and maybe even this weekend?
He makes good flash plays. You know, like you look at the raw numbers and he's good. He just doesn't win consistently on the edge.
Gotcha.
You know, and the nice thing about the Panthers game is like they had a really bad offensive line. But up until that point, the Giants weren't able to – like bad offensive lines had their get right game versus the Giants. So, like, I think Azeez is someone who's like, hey, if you got a bad tackle or someone who's, you know, maybe not great with their footwork or is slow, like he's going to take advantage and have those plays. But he's not great in the run game.
Gotcha.
He just doesn't win consistently, but he'll get some flash plays here. I mean, you look at his stats and they're good. He doesn't have the strength to win consistently on the edge. Like it's very much, you know, working with his speed.
Well, I tell you what, you say the Giants have been the opponent's offensive line's get right game. A lot of the Raiders' offensive line has been the defensive line pass rush's get right game. So we'll see who can get right for real this weekend.
Yeah, it's you know, we had that like last week we played the Chiefs who had the least amount of sacks in the NFL versus our offensive line. And it was like, can we at least take some chances, or is this D line? And they didn't, you know, they treated it like it was the Panthers or you guys.
Gotcha.
What happened to the Raiders though? I mean, I remember watching some of them stuff last year and they had, you know, they had a decent offensive line. I know they lost the center Hudson. I know Trent Brown's gone. They just lose all their guys.
So it's Colton Miller has kind of been like the mainstay at left tackle for the last 4 years, signed him to a big extension. And he's really the only returning like starter or consistent starter from last year. Richie Incognito was supposed to be the starting left guard. He goes down about halfway through training camp. John Simpson comes in, who was a 2020 fourth round pick.
Clemson dude, right?
Yeah, Clemson. Yeah. And he was a guy always, even coming out of Clemson, where it was kind of like he needs a year or two to develop. He's struggled in the beginning of the year. He's played better lately. The last couple of weeks, he's starting to figure it out a little bit. So we'll see how that goes again, going against a guy like Leonard Williams. And then at center, Andre James, another guy, he's coming off the best game of the season, but that's also not saying much. He's really struggled. He was a undrafted free agent, I think 3 years ago, and they've been played tackle at UCLA and they've been grooming him to play center. Obviously, like you said, they got rid of Hudson in the offseason, gave the starting job to James, even though he didn't have much experience, and it's been a struggle. But again, hopefully he starts figuring it out. And then right guard was going to be Denzel Good. He tears his ACL week one, about a quarter and a half into the season. They tried Jermaine Illuminor, that spot. He wasn't working out. Alex Leatherwood was playing right tackle. He was struggling pretty bad in pass protection, so they move him to guard, bring Brandon Parker in, who's in his fourth year. Yeah, he was the same class.
So Leatherwood's at guard now.
Yeah, Leatherwood's playing guard. He's been playing there the last 3 weeks, I believe. Yeah, three games. So
my Leatherwood video is my most viewed non-Giants video. And I just remember when you guys drafted him, the comments were like, who the hell is this guy? And I think that's why. It was because it was a first round picker no one did any research on before the draft, you know. I was pretty what was your view of that pick in the first round? Because I was like, man, I was thinking about him early second, and I was still a little iffy on him.
Well, it was kind of funny. I was in the camp of there was a lot of Raider fans that felt the same way, where I was all right with Leatherwood if he would have been a second round pick, and I wanted Merrick in the first round. They end up doing the reverse, so I was like, okay, well, I guess it's kind of a wash either way. But yeah, I was definitely in the camp of Leatherwood's not a first rounder. I wasn't 100% in the he needs to be moved to guard, but I went like at the Senior Bowl again, saw Quincy Roche, who you guys know,
beat
him time in and time out. And it was after seeing that, I was sitting there like, okay, maybe he is a guard. And obviously the Raiders drafted him and put him at tackle. And
after day one of the Senior Bowl, I love, like, O-line is my thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, stock up Quincy Roche, stock down Alex Leatherwood. But then you would watch him in the team drills and you would see like Alex Leatherwood and Trey Smith next to each other, like just moving guys on double teams. I'm like, okay, like he's in the run game, maybe, you know. So I was like, maybe you move. I hate that every draft season, it's like every tackle's a guard. So it's like, it's so frustrating. It's like, I wish tackles would just play tackle, guards would play guard. Cause you can, it's like every tackle who's like, all right, maybe he's not the greatest tackle, but just put him at guard. But Leatherwood was one of those guys in the camp. I'm like, yeah, I think I'd give him a shot at tackle, but guard might be that spot.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's played out, really, is they gave him the shot. And he's been a decent run blocker, especially at guard. I think at guard, he's actually been a better run blocker than he was at tackle. So be interested to see. He's definitely definitely grown a little bit as a run blocker with the move to the inside. But pass pro, Fletcher Cox gave him some trouble. But Fletcher Cox gives a lot of people trouble with us. Yeah. I'm sure the Giants fans know. So. But I do want to talk about the Giants linebackers. Blake Martinez tears his ACL in week 3. Can you tell us what the Giants are missing without him in the lineup and who has replaced him?
Blake was really underrated, man. And he just always knew what to do, you know? And I think that's such a huge spot of the inside linebacker spot, you know, and having the instincts. And again, what they're playing with more light boxes, it's like, all right, you got to be a little more, you got to be more decisive, you know, where when you're playing a stack box, like, all right, just play your gap and play it fast. With they've given the reins to Tay Crowder, who was last year's Mr. Irrelevant, who was a great Mr. Irrelevant pick, was like the number one play calling, you know, like Sam linebacker.
Yeah,
isn't so great. And I don't know how much you guys pull or run to the outside, but my biggest frustration with him is like he doesn't read the guards. He's like staring at the running back, you know. Mm-hmm. So the guards will be pulling outside, and he's sitting there staring at the running back on a counter or, you know, a misdirection. And it's like they're getting outside. So it's like if you guys pull and run outside, like you're going to have success with the Giants. He's just not like he's a good athlete, but he's not, you know, he's not going to shed blocks a ton when he plays fast. That's when he looks his best. Decent in coverage. And then they signed Bernardrick McKinney who was, you know, with the Texans for a long time. Reggie Ragland, who's like a solid linebacker. I think they would benefit from letting one of those guys taking the Sam role and letting Tay Crowder play that number two role and just kind of playing his gap, playing it fast. But they haven't shown that they're going to change that, so I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about actually both the guys you brought up, Reggie Ragland and Bedard McKinney. Reggie Ragland, another guy that the Raiders probably or Raider fans know somewhat well because of his beginning of his career in Kansas City, but he's always kind of been more of that run defender and kind of a little bit of a liability in coverage. Is that kind of still been the case? And then with Bedard McKinney, seems like he's played sparingly, but I'm curious about what you've seen from him and is he going to get more playing time this weekend?
Yeah, Ragland's just kind of solid at everything. You know, he's a strong, decent run defender. In coverage, I wouldn't say he's a liability, but he's certainly not good. You know, he's decent, but it's not like they're not going to put him on man on the running back or anything. Like they know better than doing that. McKinney has played limited reps, but he's looked pretty good. Like I think you know they don't want to rush a guy into the role, but I do think if either this week or our game after the bye, like he will kind of take control of that inside linebacker room. Cause there's, you know, like I said, with Blake, there's a lot of value at that spot of just knowing what to do at all times. And it seems like Bernardrick is that guy. And he's better shedding blocks than the other two as well.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you say Blake Martinez is underrated. Cause I feel like he gets too much hate on social media. He's always a guy that I've really liked coming out of Stanford and always thought he was a really good player. So
when we signed him, because there was so much negative stigma around him, and there was this video on him saying he's like the most overrated linebacker because he has a bunch of tackles. I would watch the Green Bay defense, and I'm like, they're playing the 49ers. And I was like, yeah, the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, who have like this amazing run game. And they're sitting there being like, all right, you're the only linebacker, and we're going to basically treat Adrian Amos as a second linebacker. It's like, well, no kidding. They're getting shredded on the defense. They're asking Blake to like play three different gaps. So it was frustrating. And coverage linebacker stats are so flawed. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you really kind of got to watch, because, you know, you could be playing curl hooks, and you let a pass underneath, but like, that's the design. Like really, really, you can only judge them. The coverage stats are only really that good for outside corners. And even then you can pick them apart a little bit. I mean, they're nice, but you got to use them. And his weren't great, but he's been a good coverage linebacker, for the Giants. Part of that, I think, is Patrick Graham plays to his strengths as well.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to the secondary, which I think is another strength of the Giants. James Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, are quite the cornerback tandem. Can you tell us about what their strengths are as players?
Yeah, they both played really well. Adoree Jackson, because the Giants defense wasn't good the start of the year, people were like, oh, why did we sign Adoree Jackson? Like, he, after Leonard Williams, like, he was my defensive MVP earlier in the season. Like, wow. He has been able to handle whatever wide receiver to his face at him. Now, they've gotten back into more of a zone defense. But even in that zone, the outside corners are essentially in man coverage, you know, unless they're running, you know, drags or slants or you know, stuff like that. So, Jackson is just able to keep up with anybody speed-wise. You know, he's never going to get burnt. Yeah. And then Bradbury, he's more physical. And Bradbury, he understands zone coverages, like, really well. Like, he's had a few dropped interceptions on top of having three interceptions this season already. Like, he knows – he understands route concepts quicks, and he'll cut them off. So, if there's someone who's, like, all right, get an interception this week, it's James Bradbury, because, you know, he'll read, like, okay, you're running dagger. It's like, all right, I'm going to undercut that dig route. I'm going to make you think that dig's going to be there, but I'm going to undercut it. So that's what Bradbury's strength is. Like, he is, you know, he's solid. When he's not good is when they were playing him really far off and they're just letting stuff happen underneath him. But even in those games, he would, you know, he'd make a play here and there. So he's gotten better the last few weeks, but Giants fans, rightfully so, were a little disappointed earlier in the year. Because last year, I mean, he shut down everyone. Like, just shut down. Like, was
yeah. If you, he's one, you of know, the better free agent signings.
Yeah, if you don't watch, I don't watch every cornerback, but it's like I was hard to imagine more than two like corners in the league playing better than him last year. And then where this year, it's like, okay, he's played like at his Carolina level, which is still a number one corner, a really good corner, but it's, you know, there's a difference between a really good corner and a shutdown corner, and we were seeing the differences start the season.
Yeah, Bradbury is a guy that it's another kind of matchup of who's going to give in first, because Derek Carr has always kind of been really pretty good with the ball, pretty safe with the ball. I think I was looking at PFF, his turnover worthy play rate is like just 2%, which is in the top eight of quarterbacks. And then obviously Bradbury's been one of the best ball hawks in the league last 2 years. So
I think they're going to match him up on Waller, because that's what not every play, but like versus the Chiefs, they had him pressed up on Travis Kelce, and it was Travis Kelce's worst game of the season. And I think they're going to try and repeat that a little bit and kind of, you know, press him up on Waller.
You must have read my mind, because I ask everybody on the show how do the Giants or the opponents going to attack Waller. So you already answered one of my questions. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, last week in our preview versus the Chiefs, it's like, all right, this is how you can, you know, try and limit Tyreek Hill a little bit. But it's like Travis Kelce is like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, I don't know how we're going to stop him. I just didn't think Grant. We actually said, like, would you like to see Bradbury lined up on Kelce? It's like, yeah, but I just don't see it. We've never done that. Like, we've never put Bradbury on a tight end.
Interesting.
And they did it, and it worked well. So I would expect, maybe not like shadowing him, but especially on third downs, I would expect James Bradbury to, like, third and sevens, you know, maybe not third and one, but like those third and seven plays when it's like that's where the money's made. Mm-hmm. I would expect Bradbury to be lined up on Waller.
Go best on best kind of deal.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So I am curious about safety, and because I'm most curious about Xavier McKinney. He missed the majority of his rookie season with an injury, but did play in the back half of the year, and has been a starter this year. How has he looked so far for the Giants?
I don't think you have to worry about him. He's on the COVID list.
Ah, gotcha.
He's wearing his mask in every interview, so I'm assuming he's unvaccinated. There's been no confirmation that he's vaccinated, so I think I wouldn't expect. But I've been a little disappointed in him.
Okay.
he just really hasn't made plays, and they've used him as a free safety, like two high safety looks where it's like sometimes you're doing your job with that spot, but it never gets noticed because you can't see it on TV. And a lot of times playing the safety spot is like stopping them from throwing to a spot. So it's like you do your job, but you're not making a play.
No one hears about you.
Yeah, you know, so safety's, you know, like free safety is probably like the most, like the general fan probably like knows the least about free safety because like it's you don't see it on TV, which I wish they would change the angle so we could see the safeties a little more. You know, pre-snap watching TV, I'm like, all right, let me just count the guys in the box and in the corners. I'm like, okay, they're in two high or single high. So he's just kind of been blah. Logan Ryan has been Logan Ryan's a guy who should be making plays at safety and he hasn't.
Gotcha.
And then Pep got injured, and I love Jabril Peppers. I thought my biggest gripe with Patrick Graham, our defense coordinator this year, was they misused Peppers. They took him away from being a box defender, and one, they weren't even playing him, more than 80% of the reps.
Gotcha.
So safety, it's like we don't really know what we're going to do right now. Like Logan Ryan's going to start. We would assume Julian Love plays in place of Xavier McKinney, but it's like they try to do some more three safety stuff. I couldn't give you the best answer on what we're going to do safety-wise.
Gotcha. Well, I am curious. You bring up Jabril Prepper's injury. And so I am curious how much of a loss he is to the Giants defense.
He was like last, the fan base doesn't like him as much. One, because he's part of the Odell trade and people love Odell so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people watch safeties play man coverage versus tight ends in the NFL. You know, it's like tight ends win those battles. They just do. Mm-hmm. And so Peppers would lose those battles here and there, you know, versus a Kyle Pitts. You know, there was a play at the end of the game that he only had two catches in the game, but one of those was like 20 yards in the final drive. So it's like, all right, Peppers sucks. And then they put him on man coverage versus Cooper Kupp, which is like, what the hell? It's like, this guy's having like the best receiver like season. And you put Jabril Peppers in man coverage on him. But
with two outstanding corners on the outside.
Yeah. He was fourth of all safeties last year in tackles for a loss, led all strong safeties and passes deflected, had 3.5 sacks. Like he was a really good, like he just did, like he played that box defender as well as you could. And, you know, he was, I thought, decent in coverage, not great in coverage, but decent in coverage. But it's like, you only remember the catches they give up and not the catches that they don't. So like he was just, he would play gaps fast. He just kind of did everything like with unbelievable energy, and that led into plays. Like he was their best pass rusher. He was a better pass rusher than any of their guys on the edge, you know, and then he got hurt. Like he was better than I thought Aziz, Lorenzo, O'Shane, and they stopped using him in that role on third down. It just seemed like they were phasing him out in a contract year. Like I believe he would have, I think they, my theory was like, they're not going to re-sign him if he wasn't re-signed by, you know, kickoff week one. But they wanted to win games this year. So I think if he didn't get hurt, they might have tried to shop him at the deadline. But I also don't know if anyone's going to give anything up for 8 games to Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Well, I always like to wrap up by talking about the head coach. And I'm curious for your opinion on Joe Judge, because I saw your pinned tweet and I think you guys might be best friends. So what are your thoughts on
want to love Joe Judge. And that was actually down at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, I ambushed him, and I got the message later. I was like, hey man, I think ambushing people for videos is the scummiest thing in the world, but I was like, my followers bullied me into it. And he was appreciative. So there's a lot of things I like about Joe Judge, but we talked about it on our pod yesterday. Someone asked, what are the things you look for in the head coach? And I think the number one most important thing for a head coach is your offensive play caller. How do you call, like, it's an offensive league. That is the number one most important thing. And that's the thing I can't stand about him the most is his, like, if you fired Jason Garrett and brought someone in with, you know, from like Buffalo or somebody, like, you know, they wanted to interview Brian Daboll, but were denied, but he brought Jason Garrett back. So I have no choice to be like, all right, this is your offensive coordinator. Even if it has some, you know, it looks like a, you know, an ownership hire. It's like you brought him back. I'm blaming you just as much for the offense. And he's been very conservative on fourth down, which like kind of ties into that. That's been frustrating. But there is a things that I like about him. Like, I love the way he gets from the national media point of view. It's like they see running laps and like two old guys retire in camp. And it was like, oh, look at this guy. The players love him. Like the fact that they've lost so many games and they haven't like had any inkling of losing the locker room. Like the players love Joe Judge. Like, he's great at connecting with those guys. You know, like, I think there's reasons for everything. Like, everything he does is thought out. The issue, man, is I want him gone at the end of the year. Part of that is, again, like we said before, I don't want to do things halfway. If we're going to fire the GM, let's let the new GM come in and get his new head coach. And even if the new GM wanted to come in and get a new QB, I would be okay with it. But it's like, I just don't think that's what's going to happen. I think someone will look at the situation and be like, all right, Jones, at least for this year, we don't have anything to lose by bringing him back for a year and then, you know, building the O line up. And maybe next year we go after QB if it doesn't work out. Yeah, so if they fire the GM and bring back Joe Judge, I'm going to be mad if they bring back Jason Garrett with them. If he fires Jason Garrett, I'm not going to be like totally back in, but I was like, okay, I can get behind this because there's I like the other things about you. I like your staff besides JG. But like really my offseason feeling of Joe Judge, if he's brought back, is like, did you keep the offensive coordinator or not? If you kept the offensive coordinator, I'm going to be like, I want you gone, gone, gone. I'm not giving you any more chances. If he fires him, like, all right, I'm going to give you a chance, but you're on the hot seat, which like I said before, it sucks to have a head coach on the hot seat with a first year GM.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It sounds like could be in for an interesting offseason out in New York, huh?
Two first round picks. There's a lot of good O line in the draft. I don't start my draft stuff this early, but everyone says,
yeah.
So I am big in the favor of like draft a tackle and a guard. Like, let's finally get this freaking off. Let's please get this offensive line figured out. You know,
yeah.
And like last year, I had people telling me like Giants fans wanted Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, which I would have been very happy with. I was like, I would draft Elijah Vera Tucker before those guys. I'm like, you can't draft a guard. I'm like, nope, please stop. Stop telling me that. We've went so long without a good offensive line. I will draft a guard. I will draft a center in the top 10, top 11.
Gotcha.
And I think I've got the fan base on my side with that take.
Yeah, now, finally.
So it's gonna be an interesting offseason for the Giants because there'll at least be some new fresh starts.
Definitely. Well, Bobby, thanks again for coming on. One more time, where can people find you?
Twitter at Bobby Skinner _. If you're trying to watch our videos or our podcast, it's Talking Giants. And then, you know, Talking Football has some other breakdowns on it. So that's where the people can find me.
Well, awesome. You guys know where to find me, Adam Holder 95. Follow Silver and Black Pride. And other than that, until next time, guys.